Would you turn back to Romans chapter 8? I pray that the Lord will use this to teach us what it is to rest in what He has done. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that by Your grace we would be in this glorious group that You've saved, glorious because of what You've done, that we might be in that number who love You and who are the called according to Your purpose, the ones You foreknew, the ones You did predestinate, the ones You called, the ones You justified, the ones You glorified. Now, Lord, bless us, speak to us in power from Your word for Christ's sake. Accept our thanksgiving and forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. In His blessed name we pray. Amen. Verse 30, whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He called, them He also justified. Now, the first thing that I notice is that in the divine order here, calling is mentioned before justification. Whom He called, them He also justified. And some have used to teach that you're not justified until you respond to the call. Now, that is a denial of what justification actually means. You see, if you are justified, that means you have no guilt. That means you have no sin. That means you stand before God as righteous, perfect, never having been guilty. You can't go from a state of being guilty to being not guilty in God's sight. God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. Under no circumstance whatsoever will I ever clear someone who is guilty. You've heard me say probably quite often about justification being just as if I never sinned, how that is a poor way of stating justification. And I don't know if I thought about this. What would you say about a judge who said to a criminal, I'm going to treat you just as if you never committed that crime? What would we say about that judge? He's an unjust judge. He's not a righteous judge. He's not doing what is right. You see, justification, and this is one of those things you just know by faith, justification is eternal. When God foreknew these people spoken of in our text, did he know them as justified? Of course he did. When God predestinated these people, were they justified? Yes. When God called these people, were they justified? Yes. Now somebody says, well, why does it put calling before justification? Well, I know this. No man has the right to even suspect that he's justified until he believes the gospel. That's why it's put there first. Don't think, well, maybe I'm justified even though I don't believe. Don't even think anything like that. You have no right. I have no right to believe that I'm just before God if I do not hear and believe and bow to and embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom he did call, them he also justified. I love what the Lord says about that publican who went down to his house. Listen to the way the Lord said this. Verily I say unto you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified. Not merely forgiven. Not merely shown mercy. And I hate using the word merely, because what a glorious thing it is to be forgiven. What a glorious thing it is to be shown mercy. But this man went down to his house justified. Sinless. Without guilt before God. Now turn with me to Proverbs 17. And this is so important for us to understand this. I heard a preacher recently say, God exploded his wrath on the innocent Christ. Now what does that say? God exploded, excuse me, his wrath on the innocent Christ. Now in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. God did not explode his wrath on the innocent Christ. My sin became his sin so that he became guilty of that sin. And God in justice exploded his wrath on the guilty Christ. And it's scary saying something like that, but that's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now this is what justification is. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's nothing to lay to their charge. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing to lay to their charge. God justified them. Now, I want to give you five things the Bible teaches with regard to justification. Whom he called, them he also justified. And here's the first thing, and these are all critical. If I don't believe these things, I don't really believe what the Bible says about justification. I want to know. You know, Martin Luther made this statement. He said, a church is standing or falling is based on what they really believe with regard to the justification Christ accomplished. And I would agree with that. If you're, you know, we say wrong on the fall, you're wrong on it all. That's true. Wrong on justification, wrong on it all. That's true as well. This is how critical this is. Whom he called, them he also justified. Now, first, justification is by grace. Well, that's the only way it can be, because me and you are sinners. So justification must be altogether by grace. Being justified, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. Titus 3:3, being justified by His grace. Now, turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. You know, it's amazing how often you have to go back to this passage of Scripture in preaching the gospel. I mean, there's not a more important passage than this passage in Genesis chapter 6 regarding man and regarding grace. Look in verse 5. And God saw. How God sees things is the way they are. Me and you don't see things the way we are. They are. We really don't. God does. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil nonstop. Now that's God's testimony. Look in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah is included in verse 5. He wasn't a cut above these people. This is Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. Somebody says, well, they didn't have as many temptations to deal with back then, and they could live better than we can today. No, that's not what that's saying at all. It's saying Noah was a justified man, perfect. That word is without blemish before God. Now, that is God's justification. It's because justification is by grace. Second, justification is by blood. First, justification is by grace, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Second, justification by blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, well, let's turn there. I want you to look at it with me so you can see. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than, Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by His blood. Now, here's the gospel. Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses. And He was raised again for our justification. Now, when Christ died, He died because of our sins. That's why. The moment He died, He didn't go through the process of decay the way you and I do. Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Why? Because sin had been put away. It had been made not to be. He put it away, and He was raised again for our justification. Now, what peace God is satisfied with everybody that Jesus Christ shed His blood for. They're justified in His sight. Justified by blood. His person and work, He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified, literally having been justified, by faith, we have peace with God. Now, it's not our faith that gives us the peace with God. It's because He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So every believer stands without guilt. Somebody asked me recently, if our sins are all forgiven, why do we have to confess it? Well, because He said to. When we pray, the Lord teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that are indebted to us. It's a the fact that I'm justified before God doesn't mean, in my own experience, I'm not a sinner. I am. And I'm to confess my sin, and I don't want to sin anymore. These things write unto you that you sin not. Every believer wants to be free from sin. We're looking forward to being free from sin. We desire it greatly, but still the fact of the matter is, I don't have any sin if I'm justified. No sin. Sinless before God. Now here's the third. Justification's by grace. Justification is by blood, and justification is by faith. You see, if someone takes the truth of eternal justification and they use that as, I'll find out in the end, you know, whether or not I was justified. There's nothing I can do. Well, you're right, there's nothing you can do, but you've totally misunderstood and twisted the glorious doctrine of justification. There is no justification apart from faith. Look in Romans chapter 3. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude. That's a strong word. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, what is the evidence that I stand before God justified? And remember, justified means sinless. It means without guilt. It means perfectly righteous, that the God of glory who sees all looks straight into me and there is nothing but righteousness. What is the evidence to me of that? Because when I look within, when I think of myself, I see somebody who is just as sinful as they've ever been. Do you believe that about yourself? I'm just, you know, when I was 17, 18 years old, I'm just as sinful now, just as corrupt now, as I was then. Now somebody says, I'm not. Well, congratulations. I'm glad. Don't believe it. It's just because you don't see. You see, I still have the same sinful nature. I've got a new nature. I've got a holy nature. I've got a nature I didn't have when I was first born, the nature when I was born again that I was given. I've got a new nature, but I have the same old nature of sinfulness. That's just the fact. And if I look at myself, sinless? What is the evidence that I stand before God without guilt? What is the evidence? Faith. And let me show you this in the Scriptures. You're there in Romans. Look in Romans chapter 4. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, heavenly glory, perfection before God, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If there's anything you do to enable you to go to heaven, that means God owed it to you. He's paying his bills to you. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not. You see that salvation by works in any way, in any measure, to any degree, is futile for you. That's how you see yourself. You're somebody who can't work. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now don't miss that word, not that forgives the ungodly. not that gives grace to the ungodly, not that has mercy on the ungodly. All those things are true. But the word God the Holy Spirit uses is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that, what? Justifieth. Justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now, here's what that means exactly. Anybody who relies only on him that justifies the ungodly, that's the evidence that that person is righteous before God. Are you relying only on him who justifies the ungodly? Faith. There's no salvation apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are personally, right now, you are right. This is everything. You don't have anything else. You're relying wholeheartedly on him who justified the ungodly. That's what Christ did by his work on Calvary's tree. He justified the ungodly. There is no justification apart from faith. So here's three things. Justification is by grace. Justification is by blood. And justification is by faith. Now turn to James chapter 2. Probably in my life, I'm almost 62, and I bet several hundred times people have said to me when I tried to talk to them about the gospel, what about James chapter 2? Why would they say, what about James chapter 2? Well, look in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What good did you do? Be warmed, be filled, but you don't give them anything. What good does that do? Verse 17, in the same manner, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Now, is he saying, I'm going to prove the reality of my faith by the good works I perform, by the life I am living? I can see where somebody would take it that way. Let's go on reading. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now, do you hear what that says? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, as I said, many people have taken that passage of scripture, and they said, well, what about James chapter 2? You say faith only? Well, James says it's faith and works. What about that? How do you explain that? What does that mean? Well, Abraham believed God. Amen? Abraham believed God. When God said the Messiah is going to come through your seed, Abraham believed God. That's in Genesis chapter 15 when it says it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed what God said. Now, God comes along and says, you take that boy that I have promised to bring the Messiah through and kill him. Offer him up as a burnt offering to me on a mountain that I'll show you. What if Abraham would have said, I can't do that, because then your promise would not take place. That would mess up your program. If I kill that boy, what you say will not take place. I can't do that. What would have Abraham demonstrated if he did that? He didn't believe God. Because God promised the Messiah would come through him. Well, I can't mess that up, therefore I can't kill him. All he would have proven by that is that he did not believe God. But in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, he said to those people, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You see, he knew that he was going to slay his son. God promised the Messiah would come through that son. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, he believed that God would raise him from the dead because he knew what God said must come to pass. Now, do you see, Abraham's actions demonstrated that he really believed what he said he did. He believed the Messiah would come through his son, even if he killed him. God would raise him from the dead because what God said must come to pass. Now, where there is faith, there will be proof that you really believed what you said you believed. Every time, I think of what John said in Revelation 14, 13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, they're going to have rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And this is talking about the same thing James is. They don't come out in front as the cause. They don't walk along the side as evidence, but they're behind as proof. What proved Abraham believed God? He offered up his only son. And that's what is meant by justification being by works. There will be proof that you really believed what you said you believed. Every time, without exception, there will be proof. Finally, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, by thy words. What comes out of your mouth? By thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. Now, your speech. You say, I believe what that man's saying. I believe it's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe it just because that man's saying it. I believe it because the Bible teaches. That's what I believe. By your words, you'll be justified. Somebody says, I don't believe that. By your words, you'll be condemned. You see, what you believe, what you say, is going to line up with this glorious truth of that man, in the publican who beat upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord said, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified. And I love the way The Lord doesn't make any comment on it. He doesn't explain how that can be. He uses the rest of the Bible to do it. The whole Bible is telling us how God can be just and justify the ungodly. Now, your words, my words, will line up with justification. What God has done for me, if He has done it, and I'll be justified. And if my words are contrary to justification, I will be condemned. I'll prove I don't really believe justification. But what a glorious chain. Whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And we're going to consider this next week, Lord willing. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. And just chew on this. It doesn't say He will glorify them. It says He glorified them. And that's what we'll consider next week, Lord willing. Okay.